Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
We're so glad that you're here with us this morning. We know you could be a lot of other places, but you're here. You made it. So glad to have you with us. Today, really excited because we begin a brand new series called Mad About the House. And here's what this simply means, that God has called us as a church to be crazy, passionate, madly in love with God's people and God's house. And really, that's the theme of the series that we start today. So if you're here for the very first time, we haven't met just yet. My name is Pastor Ryan, senior pastor here at the church. Been here for about 19 months, getting close to 20 months. And we're so glad that you're here with us today. And for the note takers in the room, I'm going to give you a subtitle for the series, okay? So main title is Mad About the House. Let me give you a subtitle. Here at the church, we will care for what Jesus died for. We will care for what Jesus died for. That's why we should be mad about the house. We should love God's house. We should love God's people. Why? Because the church, the Bible describes it this way. It is the bride of Christ, the bride of Christ. And I've used this illustration before if you've been around the church for a little bit, but this is something you should never say to me. Hey, Pastor Ryan, I like you, but I hate your bride. Like, don't ever say that to me. And in fact, that's how you get slapped real quick, okay? Like, don't say that. Like, I like you, the person, but I hate your wife. Like, don't say that to me, but oftentimes we say that to God. I love Jesus, but I hate the church. And when we say that, we're actually putting down God's bride. And so we've got some problems, and God's got to get us back to a healthy biblical view. So I just want to take a stand right now. Again, new to the church, the senior pastor, I just want to take a stand in front of you, literally and figuratively, and I just want to let you know something. At this church, we will not put down and we will not belittle God's bride. Like, at this church, we are not ashamed to be passionate about God's house and God's people. We're not the least bit concerned about being too crazy or too passionate about what was worth the blood of Jesus. God sent his son, you need to know today, to purchase the church, to buy us out of the world, to call us out of the world. And do you know it's the most expensive gift that's ever been purchased? In fact, all of this is extremely biblical. If you're wondering, it's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. For husbands, this means love your wives. Check out this part. Just as Christ loved the church and he gave up his life for her. I got to tell you, friend, we will care for what Jesus died for. And it's heartbreaking to me. I've had so many conversations. In fact, going to back to my college days, so many conversations. I even read a book on this of people that would say, I love Jesus, but I hate the church. And I got to tell you, when you get to know those people's stories, in fact, odds are there's many of those people here in the room listening online on the podcast. Here's the real backstory when people say that. Here's what they're really saying. I love Jesus, but I hate the church. Because church leadership hurt me, because I didn't get that solo and the other person got the solo, because there was people in the church that I thought I could trust, but they turned their back on me and they gossiped about me. It's a weighted statement, and there's a reason behind it. And I got to tell you something today. In fact, God's going to do a great work in us, because when we take a step back and we look at that statement, we will realize that that statement does not honor God. In fact, what really needs to happen in your life and in your world, what really needs to take place is you need to fight the hurt that you have with forgiveness. In fact, when we think about forgiveness, we want justice. And I taught you here recently, if you've been a part of the church, that forgiveness is actually not about justice. Forgiveness is about freedom. Not freedom for that person that hurt you or that church that hurt you 10 years ago. Freedom for you. That's what God wants for your life. So when you forgive a church or you forgive someone in the church, when that takes place, you are not, hear me loud and clear, you are not giving them your approval for what they did. When you forgive someone, you are saying, you know what, even though you don't deserve it, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to walk in freedom because that's what God has done in my life. He's forgiven us of much, and so we are to forgive others. And God's going to stir up some things, some good things in this series. Going to stir up some freedom in the house, some joy in the house, some passion in our hearts again for God's people and His house. Because if you've been like me and you've been in a lot of church services over the years, over the decades, it's easy to kind of just play church, you know? And this is just a part of our routine. And twice a month, we're going to try to get there and we're going to try to do this thing. And it's just a part of this routine. And we've lost the luster. We've lost the power of God's people gathering together. So if you got a copy of God's word with you, maybe you follow along on the YouVersion Bible app. We've got the notes in there. It makes it really easy. If you don't have any of that, we'll have a giant Bible on the screen for those in the room. But I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to have a main text. We're going to read a few verses together. But we're also going to have some supplemental text that we'll jump to quickly throughout the message. And God's going to do a great work. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to read all the way through verse 12. And that's a lot of verses you're thinking, Pastor, and I know, but we got the good people in the house today. Y'all can handle 12 verses, right? Y'all can handle 12 verses. I got a lot more after this in the supplemental. But 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1. I'm going to get started here. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander, of every kind. We could just stop right there. That would be good, right, if we heeded those words. Verse 2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 6, Peter is going to quote some Old Testament scriptures here for the next couple of verses. For in scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. That's Isaiah, two different places, and also Psalms, what Peter quoted. Verse 9. I've preached on this not too long ago, very famous verse. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Well, why is all of that true? That you may declare the praises of God who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Last verse, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds. I think it's interesting. It doesn't say, hear your good words. They may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. If you're taking notes, I'm calling the message today, brick house. Brick house. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. And I thank you for this great group of people gathered together. July 14th, 2019. I thank you, God, that you're doing such a mighty work, not just in this house, but in so many churches across our great city. God, we thank you and we give you glory that many people, the news doesn't report this, but it's true, many people are coming to salvation, not just in this church, but in many churches across the Metroplex here in Houston, God, and all the suburb and the cities around us. And so we give you glory for that. And we pray right now for this moment in time, those in the room and those listening online on the podcast, we pray, God, that our hearts would be open for you to do a mighty work in us. In fact, this series, God, I just truly believe is a, it's not just a theme or an idea, but it's a season-defining thing for us. God, you're preparing us, not just for the growth we're experiencing now, but for the growth to come. And so I pray, God, that you would do a great work in all of us. I pray, God, for the melting pot that is this church, the many different nationalities and people from so many different backgrounds, people that have been a saint for years and years, and the many new believers. I pray for us all, God, that we would grow together in this series. And as you build us together, stone by stone, brick by brick, that we would give you glory and honor, that we would magnify your name, and that you would continue to build us into the spiritual house you've called us to be. We love you, and we trust you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. I'm ready to preach today. I'm so excited. I hope you're ready to receive. Now, from the text, we have some important things to learn. Maybe for some of us to relearn, things that we need to know about God's house, which is God's people, us, God's building. And the first is this. If you're taking notes, jot this down. But God's house should be marked by, number one, passion. Passion. Where'd you pull that from? Verses 2-3. We just read it. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. We see a clear, crystal clear desire here and a passion here for God's word and spending time with the Lord. There's a passion display. That's why Peter uses his words carefully. That's why he says crave and why he uses the word taste to describe this pursuit of God. And I got to tell you something. Shouldn't that be the goal for us every week? That we're pursuing God together. That we're not just gathering to play patty cake and then go home and feel better about ourselves because we made it to church. But that we would gather together, magnify, and lift up the name of God. That we would pursue him together. And I say this all the time because I want to get it deep inside your soul, but I just believe with all my heart that our church services should be marked by passion and exuberance for the Lord. In fact, I will not apologize for it. Well, that person creeps me out because they're jumping. Well, that was just me in the front, okay? That was just me. It's going to be all right. Well, I don't know. They got both hands lifted up. Like, what are they trying to do? I'm just telling you, our services should be marked by passion. Why do they keep saying amen in the services? Because they're preaching back to me. They're into the message. They're leaning into what God has to say. We will not apologize about it. I got to tell you, and I've said this several times, and I'll say it again, if we can shout at a Texans game, if we can celebrate the Astros winning the World Series a couple years ago, well, Pastor, they did win the World Series. Last time I checked, y'all, Jesus is the undefeated, undisputed champion of the world. Can I get an amen in the house? I say it all the time. Oh, well, that's not my personality. Yeah, I saw you at the game on Sunday. Yeah, you're a businessman, but you had your shirt off and your chest painted with wearing this crazy thing on your head. If you can do that, you can give God some glory in his house. Not my personality. Oh, really? I wonder what you look like if you won $1 million. You'd be doing backflips. You'd be speaking in tongues. You'd be doing all kinds of stuff. Well, I'm Baptist. I don't care. You'd still speak in tongues. I'd see it. Not my personality. Really? We should have our services. We should have the kind of life that there is passion. And passion is not just about being loud, okay? a deep care for, a desire. Man, I want to learn from God's word. I tremble before God's word. Anytime that it's preached, I know that power is there. It doesn't matter who's got the microphone. When God's word is spoken out loud to me, there's an opportunity. There's an excitement. God, what are you going to do next in my life? And I got to tell you, like, this is why, and I say this, but I got to keep saying it because it's got to get into your soul. This is why we want you to laugh in church. This is why we add humor to our services, or we'll play a funny video, or we do these, like, events for your kids and your grandkids. Like we want you to be excited about God's house. Well, you're just trying to entertain. No, we're not. In fact, you can go to every staff meeting we've ever had, and I've had a ton, I get that, I've only been here 19 months, but you can go to every staff meeting, every elder meeting, and we have never posed that question, how can we entertain people this week? Never once been said, and it will never be said in our meetings, as long as I'm here, and hopefully I'm here for a long, long, long time. Like, it just won't be said. We're trying to make sure that there's an excitement and anticipation that, hey, I got to get to the house because God is going to do a mighty work and we're going to have fun while he's doing it. And I love this about our church, the church that God is building here, because I think about my kids. I've got a six-year-old son, or we've got a six-year-old son, and we got a young daughter, and she's still figuring things out, and so she doesn't all the way know. She just kind of goes where we go, right? But our son, I love how excited he is to get to God's house. In fact, it was a few months ago that he had been under the weather for a little while, and he wasn't contagious or anything, but we just thought, man, maybe he needs to stay home. I think Nora, our baby girl, I think she wasn't feeling well either, and so they're normally here every single week. We bring them, and we make church a priority, but we thought maybe we need to let Luke, our son, our six-year-old, sit this one out, and so we told this to him on Sunday morning, and God is our witness, he began to weep. Like, not cry, y'all, like ugly cry, okay? Like, began to just pour out, just like, no, I gotta go. I wanna be there. And I gotta tell you, we brought him that Sunday because that's a win. Now, sometimes you gotta drag them, parents, I'll let you know. Sometimes you gotta drag them. Like we're the parent, they're the kid, okay? I'm preaching right now, it's not in my notes, but that's good. Like, you just gotta get them here. But I just love that he's got a passion, a desire. I mean, he's already talking about Easter next year. Like, I cannot wait. I got to get another golden egg. It's going to be awesome. Like, I'm just telling you, you should be passionate and excited about being in God's house with God's people. What do I always say to you? Church should be enjoyed, not endured. And passion is not just excitement. It's not just being loud. It's not just hype. It's a deep care for something. Now, I think back with me, those of you that know your Bible really well, what did the Bible say about Jesus? What did it prophesy in the Old Testament in Psalm 69, verse 9, and also talk about in John chapter 2, verse 17? His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." We're supposed to be like Jesus, right? Well, Jesus was passionate about God's house. Zeal for your house will consume me. If you read what happened before this, you'll see Jesus exudes some passion, some zeal. He cared deeply for, and catch this, friend, he protected God's house. So should we. So let me ask you a couple of rhetorical questions, okay? Don't answer out loud, just answer them in your heart and mind. If this is your church home, okay, hey, this is going to be the house that I'm planted in. Do you care about God's house in the same way that Jesus cares about God's house? Think about it today. Do you fight for God's house like Jesus fought for God's house? Do you protect God's house like Jesus protected God's house? Do you make it a priority like Jesus made it a priority? Do you know this, that even at a young age, Jesus made God's house priority? You can read it for yourself in the Gospels, but Jesus' mom and stepdad, Mary and Joseph, they were traveling. They had done a trip to Jerusalem, and they were traveling back, and they had a traveling party with them, and you know, they couldn't call an Uber back then, you know, and so it was a big deal, and so they were traveling back away from Jerusalem. They had just done a trip there, and all of a sudden, people start turning to each other and say, "Where's Jesus?" You can read about it for yourself in the Gospels. Like, where's Jesus? And I don't know.
Where's Jesus? And so Mary and Joseph, they're there. Remember, this is their son. Hey, where's Jesus? Well, I think he's, you know, in the back. And, you know, we had got this traveling party. And I hadn't seen Jesus. Do you know that they lost Jesus? Like, for the parents in the room that you left your kid at Walmart one time, like, you're in good company. Like, Jesus turned out okay, and so were your kid, okay? He'll be all right. But like, literally, they lost Jesus. How do you lose the Son of God? Like, that should be number one on your priority list. And so they don't know where he's at. They go back to Jerusalem. This isn't leaving him at Walmart, okay? Like, in another city. They go back to Jerusalem, and where do they find Jesus? If you know the scripture, you know the answer. In God's house. At a young age, okay? And so they finally get to Jesus. And they're like, little baby Jesus. I don't know what they called him. Like, where were you? Why are you here? And what does Jesus say? It's powerful. Where else would I be? Where else would I be? Is that your mindset? Johnny, why do you keep showing up week after week after week after week? You're always serving. You're always volunteering. You're always giving. You're here early and you stay late. Why are you doing this? You only miss when you're on vacation. You only miss when you're out of town for business. Why are you always here? Where else would I be? Where else would I be? I got to be in God's house. It's a passion. Here's the second point. Number two, it's not me talking. This is 1 Peter, God's holy word. God's house should be a place of belonging. If you're taking notes, write that down. In fact, we sang about it a moment ago. Belonging, this is verse 5. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We see here and in many other places, I've preached it before, I'll keep preaching it, but every single person underneath the sound of my voice, you have a role to play in God's house. You do. You are a stone. You are a brick in God's house. Well, pastor, it's my first time. I haven't even shook your hand yet. Like I just got here 15 minutes ago, like as worship was ending, like are you talking about me? Yes! You belong in God's house. You have a role to play. Here's the problem with many churches, and if we're not careful, we can fall into this as well, is that we have so much talent in our American churches that sometimes churches are built on the personality of a worship leader. Sometimes churches are built on the personality of the senior pastor. Sometimes churches are built on the greatness of their programs instead of on the chief cornerstone, the capstone, Jesus. And I got to tell you today that if you don't want it to be all about me or our worship leader or our staff, then you have to play your role. So the problem's not with my personality or somebody else's, it's with you. You are a missing brick, a missing stone if you are not investing your life to build God's house. And that's not coming down at you. I am calling you to the higher standard that God has for you, that you belong. Like, we want you here. In fact, I've got this little, it's not the Ark of the Covenant, okay, hiding underneath here. But I've got a little illustration. I brought some bricks from my house. They had some leftover bricks. We moved here, again, 19 months ago, getting close to 20 months ago. And so this is what color my brick is, if you were curious. And anyways, so I got my bricks here. And you can see, obviously, it's harder on this side. And those that are listening online, just let me paint a picture for you, okay? But we got a missing brick right here in the middle. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that there's a problem here. And then as you place bricks on top of these two right here with a missing brick underneath, it's not going to take long for this whole thing to crumble down. And here's what happens in many of our churches is that you were designed to be here. This is your place. Sarah goes right here. This is you, Sarah. I just made that name up off the spot. If there's a Sarah in here, I'm sorry, I'm not picking on you. How did he know? But like, that's your spot. but you're missing. Let me teach you something that you already know, okay? This building is made of bricks as well. We've got steel structure and all of that. I get it. But here's how bricks work. At one time, this one brick, you, when it's in and a part of a brick house, it is all at once resting upon the shoulders of the bricks beneath it. It is all at once supporting the bricks above it. It is all at once giving strength to the bricks beside it. And that's the place, that's the calling that God has upon your life. Let me talk to the seasoned saints in the room that helped build this church way before I ever got here. We are standing upon your shoulders. And if you bail, this will crumble. Let me talk to the new believers in the house. We got many new believers in the house. If you bail, or if you don't sow your life into this thing, if you stay a spectator, we can go no further because there is a missing space that only you can fill. And what happens is you start putting stuff on here, and just like that, the whole thing comes down. That was one brick. Y'all know I've been working out, right? Just broke that brick, right? Y'all know, like, I'd cut it like 75% before time. But that's what happens. It's like a bad game of Jenga, right? Things start crumbling and falling down and not working properly. I'm telling you, you belong in God's house. You have a purpose. You have a role. You have a calling. And hear this. When you are a missing piece, when you don't invest your life, it doesn't just affect you in a negative way. There's people that we will never impact because you're missing. Because God is giving you a calling, a purpose, a talent, a desire, a passion. And we will not reach everyone we're called to reach unless you're a part of God's house. You belong in God's house. I'm going to read to you out of the Message paraphrase. It's not a translation, it's a paraphrase. But Ephesians chapter 2, some of our supplemental text here, it's beautiful. Starting in verse 19, let God speak to you here. This is what the church looks like. That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. It's talking about people coming to faith, Gentiles, which would be us. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. What does it say here in the Message paraphrase? You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here. It doesn't matter if you came from the crack house, but like you are welcome here. You belong here in what he's building. He used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation, and now he's using you. Fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds it all together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. That's what God's building. The third point, I'm going to hit it quickly. We've got four total. Third point is this: God's house, God's people, God's building should be filled with worship. With worship. I read to you in earlier 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and I preached this message a few months ago, I believe, and so I won't go heavy into it, but it'd be worth a study on your own if you're brand new today. But here's what God's word says, because this is all of our calling together collectively, no matter our talent, no matter our background, this is what God desires for us. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. I'm telling you, our services and our lives should be filled with worship unto God. And here's what people miss. We limit worship to playing an instrument or singing a song or lifting our hands during a service on a Sunday morning or a Saturday night, if our church has Saturday night services. Like, we limit worship to that. But can I tell you something that you may not know? Whether you worship on a Sunday morning or not, you are an excellent worshiper. People miss this all the time. Let me teach you something for just a second, then we'll move to point number four. You are an excellent worshiper. So the question is not, are you worshiping? You were designed to worship. The question is, what are you worshiping? And anything you place before God in your life, you are making an idol, therefore you are worshiping that idol. You won't bow before your TV on a Sunday morning while you're watching the Texans play. Nobody would do that. But if you make that a priority before God, you are worshiping the Texans. Sorry, not sorry. It's true. If your kids and their schedules, they got 18 activities every single week, and you're losing your mind. Why am I losing my mind? Because your kids are leading your life. You have made your kids an idol. And you would never bow down before your seven-year-olds and worship them. Like, you would never do that. But the schedule that you decide for them to keep, always putting them before everything else, even your spouse at times, you are worshiping your kids. You are excellent worshipers because God designed you that way. The key is to worship the Lord. God says all these great things in chapter 2, verse 9, all these great things in 1 Peter, like you're a royal priesthood. Like you're a priest. Did y'all know? Like you are a priest. You don't have to wear the collar, okay? Like you're just a priest. Like you were chosen. You are holy. I mean, God says all these things, but why does he say it? That you may declare the praises of God. God's done all these things in your life. God has said all these things, promised so much upon your life, just amazing stuff, and it's all for a reason, that you may declare the praises of God. So again, rhetorical question, not am I worshiping, what am I worshiping? Our services, our people should be filled with worship. I got to tell you today, God alone deserves the glory. God alone deserves the honor. Praise is powerful. Here's the last point, number four. God's house should be on mission. Now, I'm passionate about all these, but I'm about to give you something with this one. Number four, mission. God's house should be on mission. We are not here to play patty cake, okay? Got a cup of coffee, sat in my chair, in my section. I said hi to my friends. I did this thing. I raised up one hand during worship. I was really stepping out boldly that time. I took one note, and then I went home. No, so much more than that. God's house should be on mission. Verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans, those that are far from God, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, and that's the culture we live in, y'all. They accuse you of doing wrong, but it doesn't matter because they're going to see your good deeds. And what's going to happen with those accusers? They will glorify God on the day he visits us. Now, I want to ask you a question, and if you want to play along, you can actually respond to this one. You can give me a yes, or you can give me a no, or you don't have to play along. But as I look at verse 12, in fact, Peter, can you go back one more to showing that? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Thank you, Peter. As we look at that verse together, here's the question. Don't you want to be a 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 church? Like, don't you want to be that kind of church? Don't you want to be that kind of people, a church where our good deeds lead people to surrendering their life to Jesus and giving him glory? That's what I want for you. That's what I want for me. We've got to be a people that are constantly showing Jesus to others. It should happen in our services. And I got to tell you, this is why every week we give an altar call. Every week. So I'm not here to make you feel good or make you feel bad, depending on your perspective. Like, that's not my goal. My goal is to lead you to an opportunity, because I can't choose for you, to an opportunity where you can decide yes or no for Jesus. This is why every service we give an altar call. Every service. I could be preaching on something that, I mean, it's just like discipleship and just deep into this, like that could happen, but still, we are going to have an altar call. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the church I want to be a part of. But we're always on mission. We always remember that sometimes God works on somebody for 10 years to get to the doors of this building once. And that could be their only chance to hear the pure gospel and have a chance to respond. So we're going to give an altar call every single week. I praise God, and I know you get excited about this too, But I praise God that in 19 months, almost 20 months, we've had over 240 salvations on this campus. 240 on this campus. But can I tell you something today? It can't just happen on this campus. It can't. You've got to be Jesus' hands and feet out there at your workplace. Did you know that your school and your job and your family is your mission field? God may never call you to Africa. In fact, most of you, he has not called there because you're already planted in the exact place you need to be, in the exact neighborhood that you need to be in, to be God's light to others. Remember, it's not your light, it's God's light shining through you to others. And I love what this verse says, because many of you are thinking, well, Pastor Ryan, I could never lead someone to Christ. I could never walk to them. I mean, what if they ask me a question and I don't know the answer? What's this verse say? What's this verse say? Look at it. It says, hey, they're going to see your good deeds. They're going to see your good deeds. They're going to see how you operate in your marriage. It's different. Should be different. They're going to see how you're raising your kids. It should be different. It will look different. They're going to see how you always have joy and peace no matter the circumstance. They're going to see how you've always got this faith that God's going to turn things around, that he's working all things together for your good. They're going to see it in how you serve and how you give and how you're generous. It's your good deeds that even when people hate on you and even when people cut you down and come against you, even those people will one day glorify God. You don't have to know the answers because it's really not about your words. It's about your life. I could care less if you got this great theology. Have you led anybody to the Lord? You got all this head knowledge. You got the Bible memorized. But have you led somebody to the Lord last week, last month, last year, last 10 years, ever? It's not just here. It's out there. And I love this famous quote, and you know it, by Ralph Waldo Emerson. Your actions speak so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. That's what God wants for you and me. My prayer for you, my prayer for Christ's covenant is that we'd be a church marked by passion. A church where people belong and they have a place and they have a role to play as God builds his church. That we'd be a church filled with worship. That we'd be a church that's always on mission. Can I tell you our vision? It's really simple if you're new here. Let me tell you our vision. Heaven full and hell empty. That's why we do what we do. Heaven full and hell empty. God wants you in heaven. We want you in heaven. But you have a choice to make. God will not turn you into a spiritual robot where he takes all over your body. That's not how it works. God slides an opportunity across the table to you. And it's up to you. You have free will to accept it or not. Jesus already paid the price for your sin on the cross, Calvary, a little over 2,000 years ago. But it's up to you to receive that free gift. The choice is yours. Jesus has already chosen you, but will you choose him? Will you choose him? I want you to bow your heads with me. Close your eyes all across the house. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you for speaking to us today. You're so good. You're so good. We thank you for this challenging word in the first part of our series, Mad About the House. God, help us to be the church, the people that you've called us to be. Help us to be a church marked by passion. It's not just about being the loudest, but a church that deeply cares. In fact, God, we just proclaim right now that we will care for what you died for. Lord, help us to be a church that every single person that comes to these doors, they feel instantly like they belong. That no matter their background, no matter their past, no matter their present, that they feel love and acceptance, that they don't feel judged. God, as you begin to work on them in the same way that you're still working on us, we pray, God, that they would also feel that sense you know what, I've got a place to hold here. I've got a role to play. God's given me gifts and talents to use for his kingdom and not just my own. And I pray, God, that we'd be a church that's filled with people that are generous, people that are serving, people that are committed, people that make your house a priority. God, may we always be a church that every time we gather and every time we scatter, we are worshiping you. That we place you in first place, not second or third or fifth throughout the week, but then on Sunday we try to push you back to first. No, God, may we be a church, may we be a people that puts you in your proper place. That we would worship you above all, because Jesus, you are the one true God. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Help us. Help us to be that kind of church. And last but certainly not least, God, I pray that you'd help us to always remember the vision and the mission that you've given us to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Every human life is precious, and they deserve to hear the pure gospel, the good news of Jesus. Help us to be that church, whether it's a service, whether it's at in-town suites and the ministry we do there monthly, whether it's at the grocery store, in our family, at our job, on our school campus. May we be that people, your people, that are on mission, that every time our feet hit the ground, after we wake up in the morning, it's not just another day, another dollar, but it's a day filled with purpose. You've given us a great mission. With heads bowed, eyes closed, all across the house, no one looking but me, please, just honoring this holy moment. That opportunity I've been talking about all service long, the reason why we exist, I want to give you that opportunity right now. It's the best news you'll ever hear. And it's true. It's not fake news. It is true that Jesus died on the cross for you. And not just that, but he literally, not figuratively, literally, physically rose from the dead. And he did it for you and for me. In fact, we know this, that each of us, including the guy on the microphone right now, we didn't deserve that. We can't earn that. Because Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sin, not his, because Jesus never sinned. But Jesus took our place. So what this means is this: it's a game changer for you, not just in this life, but in the next. What this means is you have a chance right now to surrender your life to the one who gave his life for you. You have an opportunity before you, and you may not get it again. I'm not trying to scare you or coerce you. I'm just letting you know the facts. This could be your last chance to surrender your life to him, to put your trust and faith in who Jesus is and what he did on the cross, to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin, your mistakes. And if you'll do that today, you can know that you know that you know that Jesus hears you. He already loves you, and he'll forgive you. And you can leave this service just moments from now without that weight and that baggage of sin that you've been carrying around maybe for years. Jesus is sliding across the table to you forgiveness and grace and mercy and freedom. But it's up to you to receive it. So keep those heads bowed, those eyes closed. If you're here today in the room or you're listening online and you want that, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. I don't know what all it looks like, but I just believe and I feel the Holy Spirit drawing me, and I can't even really explain that all the way, but I just know that this is my moment. I want to give my life to him. If that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you, not going to make you stand, not going to usher you off to another room, but right where you're seated, if that's you, would you lift up your hand so I can pray with you? Thank you so much. You put it down. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. No one's looking but me, please. Yes, I see it. You can put it down. If you're listening online, you can respond. God, you're so good. All the Christ followers are praying in your heart and mind right now because you know this is a precious moment. This is not routine for us. To the two brave men that raised your hand a moment ago, keep your eyes closed, everybody. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And here's the great thing. In fact, two great things about this. Number one, when you say this prayer after me in a moment, if you'll mean it with all your heart, Jesus hears you and he'll forgive you. And number two, as you say this prayer after me in a moment, you will not be alone. It will be way more than a couple of voices in this room. You're going to have so many people that are following Jesus beside you, in front of you, behind you. They're going to lift their voices with you. And it's a sign to you, it's a signal to you to let you know you are not alone. As you begin this journey for the first time, or maybe as you begin again, you are not alone. So the brave men that raised your hand a moment ago, and also the Christ followers as support, say this after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love, for your grace, and for your sacrifice. Jesus, I put my trust in you and you alone. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And so I ask you to forgive me of every sin, of every mistake. Make me new. Jesus, help me to live for you all the days of my life. I surrender all. I give you my past. I give you my present. And I give you my future. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Can we get a little passionate about those men that gave their life to the Lord?
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.